Hallelujah. Today, God's word will meet you. You know, when you read the Bible, the scripture says, you see in the Old Testament, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto me. Today is your own day. You will say, and the word of the Lord came unto me. Glory to God. Our speech and preaching are not in enticing words of man's wisdom, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Today something will happen to you. Amen. It will be an experience you remember today. Amen. And you will look back and you will say, on the 7th anniversary, something turned in my life. Glory to God. You know, when God's word meets a man, there will be a story. Glory to God. When God's word meets a man, there will be a story. Definitely. You know, when you look through scriptures, you find that every story of any individual started when they had an encounter with God's word, or they had an encounter with God. Hallelujah. So I want to announce to you that your story has started. I know that the ministry, City of God, has entered a new phase. Amen. 7 years. We share certain, July also is like, we started in July. It is 14 years now. Amen. And 1 week, we're just 1 week apart. Amen. I don't know if today is the day, but July, we also July. And so July is a special month. And so my heart is full also. Amen. I'm celebrating with all of you in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Are you ready for God's word? Look at your neighbor and say, something will happen to you today. Amen. You know, there's a way we say it in our ministry. We say, something. Amen. Amen. As we say, something. And we had a meeting, you know, most of the time when we have miracle meetings and all that. And then the power of God comes upon people. And then they can't explain what's happening to them. There's a particular lady, the power of God came upon her. And they were asking, what happened to you? She said, I don't know. I don't know. Something. So that's how we say something. Amen. And something will jump upon you today. And you will go back to work tomorrow. You will know that something has changed. You will go back to your home. You will know something has changed. Glory to God. Listen to me. When God wants to change your story, He shortens the distance between you and a man of God. Hallelujah. So I stand as God's gift in this house to be a blessing to you. Glory to God. While I was praying, the Lord spoke to me about this church. Amen. Specific things. And as we keep ministering, I'm going to be sharing with you. But no, Pastor Bright, something just dropped in my heart. That what God will do with the stone and the sling will be greater than what men have done with the spear and the shield. Amen. All the sophistication is not what will bring the open doors for you. So when you are talking about, oh, you use what you had, amen, that stone and that sling will take you places. Amen. That's God's word for this house, amen. Amen. Don't take the ordinary things that God has given to you. They are powerful. Hallelujah. They are powerful. If you're sick in this place, as I'm talking, the sickness will leave you. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. You just discovered that you are well. Amen. Amen. Romans 8, 29. Let's kick off. You know, I love certain statements that Paul made, you know, in scripture, and are powerful statements. And I believe that when we give attention to the word of God, you know, there's a consciousness we carry. In one of the songs you were singing, we were talking about that consciousness. You know, I think it was in the confession. And in Christianity, it matters the consciousness you carry. Hallelujah. It matters. You know, everything is basically about consciousness. You know, you can have something and you don't know you have it. Amen. You can be someone you don't know that's what you are. And Paul was praying one of the time. He said, look, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging. So the acknowledging means that you have become conscious, hallelujah, of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. All right? So in Romans 8, I like to just read quickly, just 29 and 30. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Today I want to just share with you what I've titled, Locating Yourself in Prophecy. Amen. Glory to God. Locating yourself in prophecy. You know, in this scripture, you'll find that this is the story of your life. Amen. Romans 8, 29 and 30 is the story of your life. It starts by saying you were predestined. Now, actually, it starts by saying you were foreknown. Amen. That means God knew you before you even knew yourself. Tap your neighbor and say, God knows me. And he knew me before I knew myself. Amen. Hallelujah. So you were foreknown. Okay? That's what he started saying. For whom he did foreknow. What did he do? He said, them he also what? Did predestinate. To be conformed to the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Then verse 30, he expounded more on that. Then he said, moreover, whom he did predestinate. What did he do? He called. And whom he called, what did he do? He justified. Whom he justified, what did he do? He glorified. Now, you could see the story of your life. You were foreknown, predestined, called, justified, and glorified. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? Now, you'll find that the first two things, to be, you know, for God knew you before. You were foreknown, or for he foreknew you. You had no role or no part to play in that. Hallelujah. Are we together? You know, most of the time when we read Old Testament scriptures, for example, Jeremiah chapter 1, 4 and 5, he says, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed thee, verse 5 said, before I formed thee. You know, some of us always think it was just Jeremiah that had that special knowledge God had a foreknowledge of. No, that was just a pattern of everybody's life. Amen. Listen to me. So it was not just Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, God was speaking to Jeremiah. He said, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. That means God was saying you were foreknown. Now, in the New Testament, the scripture is telling us that whom he did foreknow, is there anybody that appeared here? And God said, ah, where did this guy come from? Who is he? Angel, come here, come here. Where did this guy come out from? Is there anybody like that? No. God foreknew. That means, see, he's omniscient. He knows everything. Hallelujah. So you are not a biological accident. Amen. Are you listening to me? The scripture is saying that whom he did foreknow. That means you were foreknown. Amen. He knew you before. That's very important. Now listen to me. If you were foreknown, it means that God already had a plan for you. Amen. You didn't appear by accident. So he said, moreover, whom he did foreknow. Then he said, them he also predestined. Of course, you know what to be predestined means. It means that there was a path already ordained for you. Glory to God. Now, there's a scripture that clearly explains predestination. And it's a scripture in Ephesians 2:10. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wonderful scripture. Amen. I like to read it verbatim. I will read a lot of scriptures, so you try and be fast with me. Amen. So we can run along. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Alright, I'd like you to see the scriptures, okay? For we in Christ are his workmanship. We are his handiwork. Amen. That's what it means. We are his handiwork. You see this? Maybe it was made by so-so company. Let's say Manchester Glass. So you say, for this is Manchester Glass workmanship. Are you understanding me? Now, but for you, you are God's workmanship. Amen. Glory to God. You are God's handiwork. The Greek word translated workmanship actually is poema, where we get the word poem from. It means that God, you're a product of God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? And people don't do poems just for doing sake. They do it so that people will appreciate it. So God brought you forth so that people will appreciate. Hallelujah. What he has done in your life. Alright? So he said, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, most of the time when we read good works, we think about, okay, we give money to the poor. No, that's not what I was talking about. I was talking about exploits. Amen. Are you with me? Unto good works which God had before ordained. So you see that you were predestined. Amen.
which he had before ordained that who? That you and I will walk in them. That means before you came, there was a path ordained for you. Amen. You were foreknown and predestined. And because of that, God came on this other side and now called you. Amen. Are you listening to me? He now called you. The call is a summoning of your spirit to respond to that which you ordained to do. Are you listening to me? Now, when the scripture was talking about the fact that before God was speaking to Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He didn't stop there. He said, before you came, while you were in the womb, hallelujah, before you came out of the womb, I sanctified thee. To sanctify means that you were set apart. Alright? Set apart. This microphone has been sanctified for pastor. Amen. So, no other person gets to use it. Amen. So, God had set you apart for a specific purpose. Then he said, and I ordained. Hallelujah. That means the ordination is that words have been spoken into your life before you were born. Amen. That means that every one of us here had an ordination before we came. Amen. Are you listening to me? Now, where we're going is locating yourself in prophecy. Don't forget. Now, the point is this. Jeremiah is not the only one that enjoyed that. That's how God works. Amen. But Jeremiah's case was what made it was how the revelation came. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? So he said, I had ordained. Now, all of us are not ordained prophets. Alright? For Jeremiah, what is peculiar with him was that he was ordained a prophet. For some of you, it might not be, maybe you're in the business field, you're in politics, whatever you're doing, you understand that, but there was something you ordained to do. Amen. So, you know, in the kingdom of God, we don't decide our destiny, we discover it. Amen. We discover it. Because it was there. It is there. Hallelujah. You discover it. This is what I want to do. No, you discover it. It was packaged in you. Amen. Now, listen. He said, whom he did foreknow, he predestined. Those he predestined, he called. If you don't respond to the call, you will not know what you were predestined for. Amen. That call we're talking about is that call of salvation, you know. So, you know, most of the time, pastors, we are the ones that even create the confusion. Say, when the Lord called me. Actually, it's one call to Christ. Amen. And then you start discovering all the things inside that call of salvation. Are you understanding me? Are you with me? All right. The day you heard my song, thou shalt arise and follow in city of God, you are going to be the one to start in Manchester Church. It was inside you since. But that was the day you realized. It's not that day that God gave it to you. It's the day you realized. Are you listening to me? That call of salvation you responded to, everything was packaged in that call of salvation. Are you listening to me? So he said, whom he did predestine, he also called. And those that he called, what did he do? He also justified. Now let me explain something to you. The part that concerns you majorly is the part of your response to the call and your understanding of the justification. Amen. Are you listening to me? To be foreknown, you had no role to play. To be predestined, you had no role to play. But the response to the call, you have a role to play. The understanding and the benefit that comes from the justification, you have a role to play. See, before he mentioned justification in Romans 8:29-30, he had been talking about justification. Right from chapter 3, actually, even chapter 1 or 2, he has said talking about justification in bits and pieces. Amen. Are you listening to me? Because, why is that so? No matter what you were predestined to do, if you don't respond to the call, it will never come into fruition. Amen. Secondly, even if you've responded to the call and you don't understand justification, you will not be able to give expression to that call that is within you. You know why? The justification is God's qualification of you to fulfill the call. Are you listening to me? Now, justification means that you are not trying to look for, you know, in life, we're always trying to qualify. We're writing exams to qualify. We're trying to qualify. We're trying to qualify. But God, before you start, qualifies you. That's justification. Amen? Are you with me? He qualifies you. And then he makes you understand what a qualification is. Because you cannot function more than the confidence you have. Are you understanding me? See, you know what it means to be, it's just like children, you know. You expect that your children will just come and ask for what they want. You understand that? But if someone is not your child, you'll be thinking, am I qualified to ask for that? But your children don't think of it. You just say, give me so, so and so. Give me, you understand that? Now listen, that's very important. That understanding of justification affects everything. It affects how you pray. Amen. It affects how, you know, how you serve in the house of God. Are you with me? It affects how you fulfill the call of God upon your life. And once that understanding of justification is not in place, you'll find that you'll be living short of what God has given to you. Amen. Now, in Romans 3:23, popular verse of scripture, he said, for all have sinned. And because of sin, what happened? They have come short of the glory. That means they are lacking in the glory. Amen. They have sinned and they've come short of the glory. The remedy is in verse 24. Amen. Go to the next verse. He said, now the remedy for, he said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Meaning that, hey, now that justification has come, you are no more short of the glory. The glory is in abundance in your life. That's why you see where he said that whom he did justify, he glorified. Because justification is what brings you into the manifestation of glory in your life. You cannot manifest glory without the understanding of your justification. Glory to God. Glory to God. Am I communicating? In Romans 5:1. Okay, let's do Romans 4:25. All right, the last verse. Then we enter 5:1. Romans 4:25. That's the last verse of Romans 4. He says something powerful. He was talking about Jesus. He said he was delivered for our offenses. Amen. He was raised again for our justification. Glory to God. Meaning that, look, it's not enough to know that someone has paid for your sins. That's one part of it. Amen. You know, someone can pay for your sins, you know. So let's say you broke this. Don't break it, please. You broke this. All right. And then, Pastor Bright says, look at this fellow broke it. Then Pastor Victor says, don't worry, I'll pay for it. They have replaced it. But anytime Pastor Bright sees you say, the guy that broke this, don't come near this thing again. That means you have not been justified. Are you understanding me? Even if the thing has been paid for. Now, when the scripture is talking about here is that the offenses of Jesus, by his death, he had paid for our offenses. But he has to be raised again for us to be justified. Glory to God. Are you listening to me? That means that Jesus is not just looking at you and saying, you know what I suffered because of you? No, 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 no. Hallelujah. So our justification was very important to God. Hallelujah. Now in Romans 5:1, it now says, therefore, being justified by faith, all right, what happens? We have peace with God. Amen. That peace with God means that you know that you don't have any qualms with God and God has no qualms with you. Amen. It is the understanding of justification that makes you function with that peace. Glory to God. Are you with me? Now, when you read down in Romans 5, maybe let's just pick 16 and 18 or there about one of those verses, you'll find where he said talking about justification and condemnation, meaning that justification and condemnation are antonyms. Amen. They do words opposite. Is that? Eh? So, if you didn't understand what justification was, the opposite of condemnation. To be condemned means that you have been disapproved. You have been disqualified. So what does to be justified mean? Amen. It means that God has approved of you. Amen. God has qualified you.
Listen to me. Stop looking for qualification. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has qualified you.
Listen to me. The day you responded to that call, you collected the certificate of justification. You were qualified.
Now, I need to talk about this because when we talk about locating ourselves in prophecy, we need to understand something. Everything that is happening in this world, the future of this world has already been spoken about in the Bible. Amen. Are we together? These scriptures are not, they're not, it's not Jewish mythology. Are you understanding me? Are you getting the point? No. The whole world, everything that will ever be, somehow has all been captured in scripture. The Bible said in Hebrews 11:3, it said, through faith, we understand that the worlds, the aeons, the different dispensations have already been framed by the Rhema word of God. That means that God, everything that will ever happen is already captured in God's word. Amen. Now, you have happened now. You have now happened. What you need to do is to turn this book and find where you are in this book. Because your name is here. You didn't hear me? Since you did not happen by accident, your name is here. Some of the prophecies Isaiah was giving, God had you in mind. That in 2014, you'll be crossing the road and that prophecy is for you. Are you understanding me? Look, Peter understood something. In 2 Peter 1, from verse 16 to 21, Peter understood something. He said, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but we were what? Eyewitnesses of his majesty. Then he said, talking about how Jesus received honor and glory from the Father when he heard the voice from heaven. I think verse 19, he now says something. He said, we have, now we had this experience. Alright? But there's something more. He said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. He was not talking down on the experience. What was trying to say is that there's something superior to the experience. There's something that validates our experience. Is the scripture. Amen. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you will do well. You will do well. If you take heed. If you pay attention to this more sure word, you will do well. Amen. And he tells us how to pay attention. Pay attention as a light in a dark place. If you were in a dark place and suddenly there's a light far away, you'd be like, what's that? What's that? What's that? He said, as you keep looking at it, look at it until the day dawns and the day star, Christ, arises in your heart. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Listen, that means that in these scriptures, there are prophecies in the scripture that are about you. What's you've heard about Rhema and Logos. Alright? The Logos is the whole body of truth, the Word of God, cover to cover, Bible, Scripture. The Rhema is customized Logos. Are you understanding me? It means that out of everything, there's a particular one that fits your situation. The Holy Ghost will quicken it and send it to you. Because when that word was spoken, whether it was spoken by David, whether it was spoken by Jeremiah, Isaiah, God had you in mind. Locating yourself in prophecy means that. See, that's why if you're born again, you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory to God. You can't do without the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't have the Holy Ghost in your life, you will not fulfill prophecy positively. You know, there's negative and positive prophecy. For example, the Bible never said, right from scripture, Old Testament, prophecies have been given that Jesus will be betrayed. Alright? He that ate from the same plate will raise his heel against him. It's already in prophecy that Jesus will be betrayed. But they didn't put anybody's name to it. You know that? It would have been Emeka. Are you understanding me? Okay, you don't know Emeka. It would have been Jane. It would have been James. Huh? It would have been Jackie Chan or something. It didn't have to be Judas. Let me show you something. Acts 13:27. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory to God. May the fire of God's word burn in your hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God. Acts 13. I'll skip some scriptures, alright? Now, in Acts 13:27, it says, for they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, that means now, the people that live there, and the rulers, these are religious rulers. Look at what happened. He said, because they knew him not. He's talking about Jesus. Nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them. How? In condemning him. Hold on. Now, these people are rulers. That means that they know the scriptures. They know what Micah said. They know what Isaiah said. They know what Jeremiah said. And they read it every day, but they did not understand it. It's the Holy Ghost that makes you understand scriptures. And what we mean by understanding of scriptures is that you've come to that place where the Holy Ghost has shown the connection between this scripture and what you are going through right now. When that connection has been established, that's understanding. If not, it's just story somewhere. I don't know. I did engineering. I read engineering, you know. Sometimes they'll be explaining some process to us. I did chemical engineering. They'll be explaining some process to us. We don't even know what they're talking about. Yes, what are they talking about? You know? I remember they were doing something about thermodynamics, you know? What are they talking about? But if you've been to the industry and you've seen, all right? Then you come back. There's a connection. Amen. Are you understanding me? Now, it's the Holy Ghost that establishes that connection for you. That relates this King James to the present Queen Elizabeth era. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You understand me? Is that connection between time. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost that does it. Then understanding has come. Then you say, okay, this is why the scripture said. Now, look through the scriptures. Even Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he located himself in prophecy. Amen. He said, lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will. That means he was saying that, look, I will not fail because the prophecy said I did not fail. Yes. So, listen, it's not like Jesus was just, Jesus was a man of integrity. You know, he was a man of integrity. No. He was standing in prophecy. He went into the synagogue and opened the book of Isaiah. And then he read, hallelujah, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because he had anointed me. After reading the scripture, all of them know the scripture. He said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. That means I am the fulfillment of the scripture. Listen to me, as you are here, there's a scripture you are fulfilling in the UK. Locate that scripture and miracles will start happening in your life. Glory to God. There's a scripture. That every experience you are going through, there's a scripture that explains it. So Jesus understood that. Jesus said, look, my meat, John 4:34, is to do the will of him that sent me. That means he understood that he came to fulfill prophecy and to finish his work. That's why if you read throughout the book of Matthew, chapter 1, chapter 2, you see that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled. It was all about fulfillment. Matthew 5:17 or thereabout. He said, look, think not that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets, but I have come to fulfill them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've come to fulfill them. So Jesus located himself in prophecy. Even John the Baptist. All right? Scripture has spoken about him, that someone is going to come, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. When John Baptist came, he said, I am the one. Amen. John Baptist came, he said, I am that voice. Glory to God. If you read carefully the writings of Paul, you will find through the books of Isaiah, between chapter 40 and 50, you will see him picking things, hallelujah, of what he saw that his role was in the body of Christ. So he was fulfilling prophecy. He located himself in prophecy. Amen. Listen, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Amen. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Glory to God. When you understand that, everything changes. Daniel one day was praying. Then he found in scripture the writings of Jeremiah. He said, yes, this is the time. Glory to God. That was it. There's a scripture that comes to my mind about the man called King Cyrus. Some of you know. Isaiah 44, the last verse. You know, God spoke. Isaiah 44, the last verse, then chapter 45, verse 1 down to 4. You know, he says, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. This is a prophecy. This prophecy was given about 150, Bible scholars tell us, or 200 years before the man showed up. Go to chapter 45. Let me just read. Thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding to subdue nations before him. Now, this Cyrus, before he came, a prophecy was given that God will what? Subdue nations before him. Glory to God. Then he said, I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaf gates. Do you know that word for word, everything God said about Cyrus came to pass? Now, time will fail me to show you all the scriptures. But the time of Cyrus was after when Daniel lived, all right? Daniel had, Ahasuerus, what was the other king now? Before the Medes, Nebuchadnezzar, then the son Belshazzar, then Darius. Darius was of the Medes, and then Cyrus was of the Persians. So when Cyrus actually came, that was when, I want you to look at one particular line of scripture there. He says, and I will loose what? The loins of kings. Say it again. I will loose what? Alright, let's just find that exact scripture, then I will flow from there. I just feel the power of God in this place, amen. It's a wonderful place to be, amen. Glory to God. Let me show you the fulfillment of that scripture. Daniel chapter 5, verse 6. This was a prophecy in Isaiah that God said, look, this Cyrus, when he shows up, he will lose the loins of kings. That means that the kings will not be able to resist. He will weaken the resistance of kings. Amen. Are you understanding me? Now, the Bible says, this King James, right? Okay. Because on this projector, it's looking like New King James. Okay. Look at this scripture was fulfilled. This was when Belshazzar, whatever his name was, saw the handwriting on the wall. When he saw it, the Bible says, then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loose. This was Cyrus coming. Amen. Are you understand? That means literally, word for word, that prophecy was fulfilled. Are you listening to me? In your life also, when you start, sometimes, what is prayer? Prayer is not someone trying to convince God to do what he doesn't want to do. That's not prayer. God, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. That's not prayer. Prayer is the simple line that explains prayer is in what Jesus said. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's prayer. Prayer is how we bet the will of God on earth. That means that's what God wants, but man has to pray it out. Are we together? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's prayer. Prophecy. What's prophecy? Prophecy is not someone telling you what will happen. No. Prophecy is simple. Is that when someone, by the gift of prophecy, stands in front of you, God puts words in his mouth of some portions of the path you are to walk on, then he will speak it forth. It was already there. That's why it happens that Pastor Bright will minister to you in church as your pastor and say words, specific things to you. All right? You will go somewhere else. Maybe you attended a program, a conference. A genuine pastor will meet you and speak the same thing your pastor said. Why are they all saying the same thing? Because it's the same thing that God has ordained. Amen. Am I communicating? That's prophecy. I know that people are falling in line. I say, I know that people are falling in line. In the name of Jesus Christ. After today, you will find yourself in that place that God wanted you to be all the while. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, it's important to know this. You know, Spirit of God just dropped in my heart. I should say this again. Again, I say it. Newcastle and everyone hearing the sound of my voice, don't take light of the stone and the sling in your hand. It is superior to the spear and the shield you see out there. Don't put your confidence in the spear and in the shield. When David was to bring Goliath down, see Goliath, how? They gave him a shield. They gave him a spear. If he had used it, I say, and the servant of God, David, died. And he rested with his fathers. The story had ended there. Amen. But the one God told him was, take a stone and a sling. That's what God told him. That thing God told you, it will work. Yeah. I used to say, you know, sometimes pastors meet me, pastors say, tell us what works, what makes ministry grow? What works in ministry? I say, what works is what God told you. Yeah. Did you hear me? What works in business? What works is what God told you. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. As you look through scriptures, you see that Joshua, they will tell him, go around 7 times and shout. You go and shout. Did he tell you to shout? Amen. Glory to God. Did God ask you to shout? See, the power is not in the method, it's in the instruction. It's not in the method. Glory to God. In the time of Elijah, what was he doing? And Joshua, they were parting sea. Alright? Where's the Lord God of Elijah? Pull! The water will part. And they walk on it. Wonderful. When Jesus came, he didn't follow that method. He walked on the water. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Are you understanding me? That was different. Then Philip came and said, no, I'm not even going to walk. I will disappear and appear. Glory! He took off and appeared in the other side. He was rehearsing rapture. Amen. Are you understanding me? All those things are types of what God is telling you that he can do. So when you hear that God will catch us away one day, he has shown us in different ways. As Elijah was there, then all of a sudden there was a whirlwind and a chariot and it took him. Elisha saw it. Jesus ascended. Men saw it. We will also ascend. Glory to God. Listen, Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Are you with me? Let that picture be strong in your hearts. So he said, we have not followed cunningly devised fable. These are not stories. When we're talking about the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are not stories. Amen. And so, when you live here today, walk with the consciousness, you are not an accident. You are God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works which he had before ordained that you will walk in them. Glory to God. See, there's no city or nation I go to that God has not positioned people there for me. Because I won't go where he didn't tell me to go. Amen. Are you understanding me? I won't go. But I know that God has already positioned people there for me. But some years back, Spirit of God told me to go to the US. And then I said, okay. And I went. I was praying to go. There were a lot of issues in between. And finally, I said, where am I even going to stay? You know, it was at the airport. Because I was traveling with one of my relatives. So I was at the airport. Someone said, there's somebody, one of our cousins, somewhere in, we don't even know where the person is, but we don't have the phone number, we have the email address of the person. I was at the airport, about to check in. That's when they told me. I said, okay, let me have the email. So they said, oh, I'm not even with the email. When you get to London, because I was coming to London, when you get to London, call so-so person, the person will have the email. So I got to London. Now, I was already billed to go to the US. I got to London. And then I reached out to the person, and they sent me the email. The Holy Ghost said to me, send a mail. So I sent him. I was traveling like the next day or the day after, right? I was to travel. I've not bought my ticket, nothing. You know? But I sent the mail. On my own side, I sent the mail and I just waited. I said, let the person respond. Actually, I was going for Kenneth Copeland convention, all right? Like, okay, but I'd like to meet those people. All of a sudden, I received a reply. It was a cousin of mine that I had not seen for many years, but when he said, there are some cousins that are aunties. Are you understanding? I can say, they are cousins, you know, but you cannot say cousin. Are you understanding me? Because of the gap, age gap. All right. So, finally, we met. And she told me something powerful. She said, that period I sent the mail, she was at work. And she does not check her personal mails during working hours. That's that day, but she will, on the tax bracket, she just pop that she has a mail or something, you know. So she will know that she has a mail, but she will check it after work. While she was working that day, she said the Spirit of God said to her, today, you will check this mail. Today, you will check. She has never done that in her life. Listen to me. When God has ordered your steps, people will do for you what they've never done before. As you live here, you will see. Amen. People will start doing, and they'll be telling you, I've never done this thing before. They will do it for you. Glory to God. And then she opened the mail. If she didn't respond to me at that time, I would not have been able to travel. She responded, and then she replied, and said, you want to travel? She said, funny enough, I am also going for the conference. Oh, that became interesting. No wonder God was connecting us to meet. All right, so how are you coming out? And she said, okay, she gave me a site to go to and check. I'll get good ticket prices. And I got one that was going to New York, London, New York. I was going to Dallas, Fort Worth, you know. It was very cheap. Like, woo, glory. I was about to, the other guy said, no, don't click that one. And you know, this kind of, the site was such that maybe after some minutes, they'll say two seats remaining. Well, you know, this kind of thing. So, like, man, let me get this thing before. Then another one came up. London, Frankfurt, Dallas. I said that one. It was more expensive. I said, Lord, this one. Yes, so I clicked on it. And I paid. Do you know, when I arrived Dallas, as I dragged my bag into the house, the television was on. What do we advertise? The news was on the news. You know what they were talking about? Today, there was a suspected terrorist. Someone dropped a bag in LaGuardia Airport, and so they shut down the airport. And that was the time I would have been landing there. We were shut down for the day. I would just be stranded in New York. Now, that's not the only problem. I'm not talking down on any country, alright? I loaded all my money in a Nigerian bank Visa card and then carried small cash, travel light. When I arrived America, when we got to the hotel and I wanted to pay, the card was not working. What I'm trying to show you is that because God ordained now, that God ordered your steps does not mean there won't be challenges. But He will see you through all of them. Amen. The car didn't work. So I brought out cash from my pocket and paid. Day one. We went to the shop to pick up something. I said, okay, maybe it didn't work there. I tried it in the shop too. It didn't work. I brought out cash from my pocket and paid. But even me, I'm feeling light in my pocket because the cash is getting exhausted, and after that, I'm just going to be left with the card, you know. So what's going to happen? So I started calling. My wife didn't travel with me, so I was calling her back, and I said, look, my card is not working. Please transfer money into this other place so that they were doing their own here. Do you know that I went for the conference, Dr. Crawford was speaking. I was just sitting in a minister session, and then the Lord said to me, the remaining cash that is in your hand, go and give it to Dr. Creflo. I said, singing, Gloria. You know, all the thoughts that come into my mind, the devil told me, this is not London, no. In London, you have people, you know. This is not Lagos. He said, giving me, you know, I said, calculating distance, how far away I am from home. Glory to God. But I stood up, walked up, and dropped the money, you know. Before I could think further, I just dropped it and came back. I sowed the seed. I didn't have any other cash on me. My card was not working. But that night, I go back to the hotel room. And then a phone call. My wife was supposed to call to tell me she has transferred the money. She said she had transferred the money, but the money was not in the account. You know? So I was expecting a call at a particular time. I was just sitting in the hotel room waiting for the call. I loaded a credit from London here, one of them, Leica and all those things. But I can't load again, you know. I can't buy Leica top up from in America. So I exhausted that too. So I didn't have any way to call. They just had to call my hotel line. While I was there, the phone rang. I said, yes, my wife is up now. I picked the phone. Hello? I heard someone else's voice. It was a young man that was with our church in Nigeria, 16-year-old boy that went to school. They said, Pastor, I heard you are in America. I just said, let me call. I got your number for social. I said, let me call and greet you. I wanted to, as he was talking, I was just thinking, it was a young boy in church. I think, hey, how much will I give him now? I don't even have cash to give him. What I'll send to him. I was just thinking like that. You know, I said, please, call me back. You're blocking the line. My wife is supposed to call. So he said, okay, sir. How many minutes? I said, 30 minutes. He cut the call. 30 minutes, about that time, my phone rang again. I said, okay, my wife is here. It was him again. I said, please, hold on 15 minutes. 15 minutes, he called again. It was the one again. I said, okay, please, finish so that the line will be free. Glory to God. Finally, he said, I just want to share a testimony with you. He was 16 at that time. He said, I did a project in my school. They paid me $5,000. And I heard you around. I just want to sow a seed. That got my attention. I said, what are you doing with $5,000? You know, 16, what are you doing with $5,000? He said, I want to say, do you have any problem? I said, I don't have any problem. He said, okay, no, but I just want to sow a seed. Then he called the hotel and cleared my bills. Hallelujah. Cleared everything. Why? God told me to go. Are you understand? That's where we're going to. Cleared all my bills. Do you know that the money they sent to me, I never got it until I got back to Nigeria. But let me say this to you. The next morning, I came out and sat in the lobby. A car is coming to pick me for the conference. Sitting in the lobby waiting for them to pick me. And then, a white lady, I don't know her till date, was walking past. She stopped, squeezed dollar notes and put it in my hand and said, bless you, sir, and kept going. I said, excuse me, ma'am. She said, bless you. That's all she said to me and walked away. So I held the money, man. I was confused. I was preaching to the guy at the reception, you know, trying to get him saved, you know. So he only saw it. He was like, what's happening, you know. The car came to pick me. There were two people in the car. I said, a lady just gave me this money. All of them said, bring their hand in their pocket. I said, if everybody's giving you money, we too will not hold back to give you money. Everybody started giving me money. Someone shout hallelujah. When God has ordered your steps, amen, things will fall for you. So today, what we're sharing with you, locate yourself, hallelujah, in the word of God. You will see that you will start living a supernatural life. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'll end on this note. You know, I closing the iPad, the tea is not coming from there, but I don't know it's coming from here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I've closed it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just shared this story with you. You know, let me tell you why I share stories. The power of God and the anointing of God's Spirit walks through my stories over the years in ministry. When I share stories, the same miracles and favors start happening for the people that heard it. Proven over the years. So as you are hearing it, that power that worked for me is going ahead to position itself at the time of your need. At the time where you'll be in a similar circumstance, you will have a similar miracle. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then I give you this word. And this for the house. And for you as an individual. Years back, I was flying Lagos Port Harcourt. I was doing a project in Lagos, so every Sunday morning I would fly. So this flying in on Sunday morning, this start today. I don't know if your heart were in your mouth where you heard that. Saturday I was in Nigeria. I said, I'm coming on Sunday morning. And I'm here. Amen. Amen. So I was flying Lagos Port Harcourt, come to church straight. I would dress up and come straight for service, you know, from Lagos. It's just an hour flight. So one of those days, they introduced me to the pilot. You know, something happened and someone introduced me to the pilot. So when we boarded the flight, taking off about that time when they announced we're now 23,000 feet above, you know, those kind of times. As we're just there, and I saw the guy they introduced as pilot, someone walk out of the cockpit, was walking through the eye. But every person was normal, but I know he's the pilot. So like, if the pilot is not manning the plane, who is manning the plane? You know? So I was so there's a guy reading a newspaper close to me. We were not talking before, but I had to tap him. Excuse me. I said, this fellow is the pilot. And I am wondering why he's not. You know? So he was reading his paper. I will never forget. Then he just looked at me and said, maybe the plane is on autopilot. I continued reading his paper. I'd never heard that before. Autopilot. I just used my engineering idea. I said, okay, maybe it's unmanned for a while or something. Or that's what it should be. Okay. But I kept quiet. That kept me calm, you know. And then I was opening my Bible, preparing for service. Then the Lord spoke to me. And he said, from today, your life and ministry will be on autopilot. That was in July of that year. When I arrived church, that's what I announced to them. In 6 months, we achieved more than we had achieved in 2 years. I bring that word to this house. You've been going for 7 years, but the next 7 years, city of God, and you hearing my voice, you will begin to run on autopilot. You will know that you are not the one making it happen. The Holy Ghost has taken over. The Spirit of God has taken over your business, has taken over your life, he has taken over your future, and he's going ahead to make things happen for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lift your hands everywhere and thank him. Just bless the name of the Lord everywhere. Bless his name everywhere. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Autopilots. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Leshka pratoze bregdishka patoze le mande e grishko pratoze bregdia patea mende lebo zupreti manto libaroske patoze glishke patoze brende kaposa paria. Oh, we give you praise today. 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 Some of you, pictures are coming to your heart of what to do. Something is burning in your hearts. Listen to me, this second half of 2014, there will be a remarkable difference from the first half. You will know that something, there's a new wind that's blowing in your life. There's a new wind, a new wind, a new wind, a new wind around you. You are walking with a confidence that you did not have before. Thank you, Father. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise. Leshke patozo bregedishka patozo alishke pateya. Leba radeske protozo bregedishka pato. Lebaske protosa paria pose. Belebozo predeske pataya. Lende broske posa. Lebandelebozo bregedishka paya. Bendeleske. I see my spirit. Something like the end of a road. But all of a sudden, a bridge comes. It's a highway the Lord has made that helps you across that point where you call the end of the road to the other side. There's someone in this service today, you don't know how to get to the other side. But I hear that by the Spirit of God today, a highway has been made for you. The connection between where you are and the other side right now by the power of God's Spirit, it has been positioned for you. Your eyes have been opened to see it, and you will go through that other side. That's what the Spirit of God is saying. Thank you, Father. Just wave your hands and thank him for today, and just bless his name and magnify him and exalt him and thank him.